On this episode of Still Loading, the history of RTS games part 6, the finale? Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today we are finishing up our journey through the history of the RTS genre. And no, we are not anywhere technically near done talking about all of the games, but we are at least done this deep dive portion of it anyway, because we have finally entered the era of RTS games that are actually RTS games. I don't really have any other games that are predecessors to the genre anymore, because we are in the genre. We are approximately in the year 1996 in the games that we have been talking about, and the reason this is kind of the last episode, for at least for now, and at least in this format, is because in 1996 there were 10 RTS games released, at least according to Wikipedia. And once we hit 97, that jumps to 29 games, and from there it really doesn't fall below 25 until 2011. And I don't really have the time right now to get through 30 games a month on top of everything else with the show, and on top of obviously being a dad and having a full-time job. So I'm putting a pin in this deep dive portion of the series for right now, putting a pin in the scripted episodes, obviously, specifically. With that said, I do plan on continuing my big episodes on some of the bigger games. There's going to be StarCraft coming up. There's going to be Age of Empires coming up. There are a lot of big games that we have not talked about yet. So this is not the end of the series, but at least right now I'm putting the scripted version of this series on hiatus, just because it is a lot of work. And in all honesty, I will spend 2-3 days writing a script and only get 15 minutes out of it. So it's a lot of work for very little content. So we're going to move on, and we're going to not dwell in the past and be sad about this part of the series ending, but let's look forward to the games that I'm talking about today and the big RTS episodes that I mentioned before. Our first game for this entry into the RTS history series is Blood and Magic by Tachyon Studios. This game appears to be the first true RTS that uses the Dungeons & Dragons license. There has been a lot of other games prior that have used the D&D license, but they weren't necessarily true RTS games. I found a playthrough of this game, and the first thing that stuck out to me was its use of voice acting. This game is from the era where when you hover over a menu option, the game will treat you like a child and read every single menu option to you. Looking back now, that's really obnoxious, but at the time, I'm sure it blew people away. And in all honesty, the voice acting was not bad. Every time a button was hovered over, the voices were not annoying, and honestly made me want to see what each option had to offer. The game breaks up its single player into 5 separate campaigns, all with varying difficulty. Players take control of wizards who use blood magic to create monsters which can then be used to fight the enemy. Where this game differs from the typical RTS format is in its resource collection. Players build these creatures called basal golems. Those golems can be moved and transformed into buildings, which then generate your soul resource, mana. What makes this game so different in its resource gathering is that each golem generates mana individually, and players must harvest each one individually. So, say you see 5 golems on screen. One golem has generated 5 mana, another has 6, others have 4, etc. In order to collect the mana generated, players need to click on each golem individually and transfer the mana to their main supply so they can then use it to build more golems or more military units. This is extremely tedious, and I can't imagine it being very fun. This forces the players to constantly monitor their economy instead of having to monitor it occasionally like in any other RTS game. Basal golems are actually your base unit for pretty much everything in this game. Besides being used for resource production, you also use them for unit creation. When 4 golems are placed around specific foundations, they transform into a new building called a mystic site. The player can then choose which kind of mystic site they want the golems to transform into. And depending on what type of site they choose, other golems can then transform into new, more powerful units. For example, if four golems turn into a barracks, players can then create warriors, rangers, paladins, and goblins from that mystic site, each with their own unique stats. In total, there are five different types of mystic sites, including the barracks mentioned before. All in all, this game seems interesting despite its severe issues with resource gathering, but the graphics are overall pretty appealing, even if the gameplay itself is fairly slow. Moving on, the next game today is called Gene Wars, developed by Bullfrog Productions and released for MS-DOS in 1996. The game takes a new approach to the RTS genre in that its primary objective is not the eradication of enemy forces. Instead, this game has players focusing on researching a variety of animals and fauna in order to breed them and learn as much about them as possible. I couldn't find much of a story for this game other than there is a random sci-fi plot thrown into the beginning to give players some explanation as to why they are researching these creatures. However, that's about all the story is good for. It doesn't really serve any other purpose as far as I can tell because there isn't much of a plot involved in this game. It's more of just a setup. If there is an actual plot and ending to this game other than completing all the scenarios, I would love to know, so please write in if you know. The player can select various planets to explore and each pose different challenges. Players must utilize their research to breed the plethora of creatures and fauna found on each planet. This is not only useful for completing the given mission, but it also is used to cope with each planet's unique climates. Some creatures can be used to attack and defend, others can be used to transport resources, and in speaking of resources, the game's only resource is called goop. Gwyneth Paltrow clearly must have stolen the idea for her product line from this game. Her goop is nothing but bullshit, and this game is also fictional, so I would say they're fairly close to each other. Once on a planet, players control a small group of humanoid beings that can build buildings and stun creatures in order to research them. In watching videos for research, what's weird about this game to me is the bizarre sound effects and voice acting. The voice acting is not bad, mind you, but it feels really out of place with the overall goofy aesthetic of the game. In all honesty, this game kind of reminds me of Pikmin in the sense that it's an RTS that combat isn't its primary focus or objective, but it's really an interesting game to look up in my opinion. Next is a sequel to a game we talked about previously, The Settlers. We are now obviously talking about The Settlers 2, which was developed by Blue Byte Software for MS-DOS and also, once again, released in 1996. Interesting, there's actually a port of this game for the Nintendo DS that was released 11 years later in 2007. I may have mentioned it when I covered the first game, and even if I did, it's worth reiterating here. The Settlers games are more of a city builder type of game in nature than an RTS game, but it has enough RTS elements in it that makes me feel like it's worth bringing up. For those who did not listen to the previous History of RTS episode, the basic premise of the Settlers series is a player controls a population of people and has them construct a castle as a starting point, followed by various buildings to help them improve the civilization, all while making sure to increase the population, transport goods, assigning your villagers slash serfs to various tasks like resource collecting and military. And while this game does not focus on combat like most RTS games, it does focus on the micromanagement of your villagers for the benefit of the civilization's economy. Where Settlers 2 differs from the first game is mostly in presentation and basically some sprucing up of the game's mechanics. The graphics get a fairly significant upgrade for the time, and they modified the economy slash trade systems of the game. But overall, if you like the original Settlers, you're basically getting more of the same with some quality of life improvements and better graphics. It is worth noting that the DS release I mentioned earlier is apparently not the best way to play it either, as the DS port was nearly universally panned, and even some critics even went as far to say that it tarnished the reputation of the original. Moving on, we have Warwind, developed by DreamForge Entertainment. That's Enter with an I. Why spell it that way? I don't know. Anyway, it was developed for Windows and released on October 23rd, 1996. I feel like this game is one of those hidden gem type of games. Based off what I've researched, the game is fairly sprawling. Players can choose between four different alien races, all with their own unique set of units and campaigns to control them in. The overall gameplay is on par with what Warcraft and Command & Conquer did, so the only reason I think this game is less well known is that it just got released at the wrong time. Warcraft and Command & Conquer took off, and this didn't. And it's a shame because the year it was released, it was nominated for Best Strategy Game that year by CNET, but it ultimately lost to another landmark strategy game that you may have heard of, Civilization II. The four alien races a player can choose from are Oblanox, Tharun, Ygara, and Shyamalee. Where this game stands out compared to other RTSs at the time was the addition of stealth mechanics. Through research, players can make their units either go invisible or go in disguise and spy on the enemy's base, similarly to what the Zerg does in the original StarCraft. And there really isn't that much else to say about this game that isn't some type of extensive deep dive into the game's story and mechanics, and that's not really what this series is for. It's more for an overview of the game on its surface. And on its surface, it's a competent RTS that got drowned out by other popular games of the time. And that's not to say it didn't do well. It sold well enough to get a sequel in 1997, but Warwind has not had the staying power in the zeitgeist like Command & Conquer or Warcraft has. And one final note about Warwind, it's completely free to play on Good Old Games, so go check it out. I know I am after this. Our final game today is simply called Z, and I know it's the last game for this scripted RTS series, but don't worry, like I said, there will be more, and I'm going to go into some more details at the end of the episode. But it's called Z, as in the letter Z. Z is an interesting entry in this RTS series, as it seems to have decided to view the RTS genre through a comedic lens. The opening cutscene shows two robots named Brad and Alan, which appear to be drunk on rocket fuel, asleep at the wheel of their transport ship, as in like a spaceship. Their commander, Commander Zod, calls them and yells at them to stop slacking, and then they land on a planet and have to fight their way through to make the delivery they were tasked to do originally. What makes this game different from other RTS games is that there isn't any resource gathering. You don't build any buildings that produce soldiers. You must capture pre-existing structures on the map, which double as manufacturing centers for additional troops and unit types. The more manufacturing centers a player captures, the faster the units will be produced. This seems to be more like a real-time tactics game since there's no resource management, but a lot of sources that I read during research still consider this an RTS. At the time, the game was praised for being a more accessible RTS since there was no resource management, and I kind of like this idea for a game mechanic, and I'm glad that it's more accessible to players who maybe have not played an RTS before. One of the biggest barriers to entry for the RTS genre is just the sheer amount of info that is thrown at players and how much they have to keep track of. Think of RTS games today. Players have to build an economy, scout to determine what their enemy is up to, then plan a strategy to counter that, build up the economy to support military production, continuous scouting to keep the enemy at bay, micromanaging your armies, figuring out the best army composition. There's just so much that goes into these games, so having an entry that boils it down to just a few of those elements is a really beneficial learning tool. One final note on the reception of Z that I found amusing: Chris Hudak of GameSpot described the game as the alcoholic, headbanging, gap-toothed, punch-drunk, inbred cousin of Command & Conquer. And if that doesn't get you to try this out, I don't know what will. And that's it for my scripted portion of my History of RTS series, and I decided to end it on the alcoholic, headbanging, gap-toothed, punch-drunk, inbred cousin of Command & Conquer. How's that for a send-off? So like I said at the top of the episode, I still plan on doing episodes through some of the more seminal games in the RTS genre that we just haven't talked about yet, and if there's any that you would like me to look into and do episodes on, seriously, reach out to me. I would love to see what games you would like to hear me talk about. So that will do it for this History of RTS series. Once again, the scripted version. I will be continuing on with the others. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. It really means a lot. This was a lot of fun for me to research, and like I said, the reason I'm stopping this in the first place is like we're getting to the point now where there's like 20 to 30 RTS games being released every year at this point in history, from 97 to basically 2011. And I don't have enough time to devote the amount of research needed for each of those. But two, up until this point, there had been significant advances in a lot of the games that I was talking about. Every game felt like a big, at least an interesting step forward to what the RTS genre was going to become, even if it wasn't quite there yet at the time. But at this point in the series, we are there yet. All you're going to hear from me is different versions of RTS games, and there are some that still broke barriers. I was talking to a friend today, just thinking about like Supreme Commander, where it was they kind of almost got rid of the unit cap and had a much more open space. Like you could have much larger armies in those. Or I forget the game that he told me about, but it was basically a fully 3D space shooter RTS game, which I thought was interesting. I'll have to look that up. So I apologize that I'm already forgetting it right now. But there are other games to talk about. But at this point, the big improvements are much fewer and farther between, and they're not as big as they were back when I was covering the earlier stuff. So if you guys like this series, please let me know. If you want to see me do deep dives into the history of a genre like I did with this for some other genre, just let me know. I would love to do another one of these. So thank you all for listening. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to contact me, you can reach me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, I have a Patreon, and it's finally doing stuff. I mentioned it on the 200th episode. I am changing some stuff up now real quick. So before, I was going to have some extra audio and blog content for the $10 patrons. I didn't create a $10 tier yet, but I was thinking about other podcasts, other video game podcasts do extra audio stuff at the $5 tier. So I'm lumping it all in together. At the $1 a month tier, you get access to the Discord and early episodes. I'm going to add the early episodes to that. At the $5 tier, you'll get obviously Discord and early episodes, and you'll also get an additional short mini episode, which could be only 5 to 10 minutes of just what I'm playing that month. It'll be monthly blog and a monthly audio segment that will get added to the $5 patrons just for them. So if you want to support the show, patreon.com/stillloadingpod, that's what you get. $1, you'll get the episodes a couple days early. $5 a month, you'll get extra content on top of getting the episodes early and access to the patron exclusive Discord. So if you want to support the show, go check that out. You can also give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. And finally, the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to go support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it for this episode of Still Loading and for the RTS series, at least as of now. Putting it on hiatus, maybe I'll release some episodes, like I'll take my time, you know, maybe a couple, I'll work on a script for a couple of months instead of one a month, and we'll see where that takes us. But that's it for now. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time.